Lincoln Ellsworth lost his mother when he was 8 years old, leaving him and his beloved sister to be raised by a father as distant and cold as any polar region. The only thing James Ellsworth had going for him as a father was his money. In spite of the depression, the family fortune continued to thrive. The little boy grew up to be something of a mystic and a determined lover of wild places. The North Pole was the place to be, or rather the place everyone wanted to be in the 1920s. Roald Amundsen, Umberto Nobile, and Richard Byrd were the main contestants in the race to fly over the pole. Lincoln entered by donating money to Amundsen, who was plagued, like most explorers, by a lack of money. Ellsworth joined the expedition and discovered, although the objective wasn't reached, that this was what he wanted to do with his life. His fortune must have been the envy of the other candidates to be first over the top of the world, that diversion that entertained the rest of the earth at the time. No lecture tours or demeaning begging visits to companies. He was also incredibly fortunate to have Sir Hubert Wilkins, a noted Arctic explorer himself, as his quartermaster in the Antarctic, leaving Lincoln able to make visits to the family castle in Switzerland or take a safari to Africa, or perhaps plunge into the jungles in South America. Interest and money put Ellsworth in the big leagues. In 1926, he, Amundsen, and Nobile attempted a dirigible flight that ran into trouble, not only not reaching the goal, but leading to an enormous battle over who the actual leader was. Several other attempts were also unsuccessful, but finally, a section of unknown Antarctica was flown over by Ellsworth and his pilot, and success was achieved. Lincoln had accomplished something on his own, although Wilkins had done the logistics and hiring. Somehow, Ellsworth never gained the stature he craved. After a taste of world fame, he wanted more. There's also more than a whiff of his father's business sense here. He had paid for the dirigible or airplanership, and he wanted credit. This petulance when he didn't receive major notice is likely his least attractive trait. In spite of the author's careful research, quite readable writing, excellent editing, and a good selection of photographs, Ellsworth, after all the work, still comes across as a spoiled rich man with far too little expected of him. However, this is a worthwhile book. The inner circle feuds and spying, the backbiting, and generally polite warfare is highly entertaining. Poole is to be congratulated for sorting through mountains of documents and giving us a clear view of complicated issues. After all this lively gossip, it is a shame Ellsworth himself was basically a boring man.